الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم عليكم إذا استويتم عليه وتقولوا سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: السفر قطعة من العذاب، يمنع أحدكم نومه وطعامه وشرابه، فإذا قضى أحدكم نحبته من وجهه فليعجل إلى أهله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected brothers and elders, all praise and thanks is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with iman and made us from the ummah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All praise and thanks is due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for once again having blessed us with this wonderful day of Jumu'ah. Let us not forget our Islamic date as well. We see ourselves coming to the end of yet another Islamic year. At the same time, we find ourselves coming to the end of the normal calendar the Gregorian calendar. We are coming to the month of December, so the year 2010 is also coming to an end in a few weeks' time, and our Islamic calendar is also coming to an end. Now, naturally, when you come to the end of the year, or 1 year passes by you, you sit back and you look at that year. That is the natural thing that a person would do. Especially when it comes to business, we know when the financial year end comes, then we all will sit back and we look at the last financial year. Why do we do that? Why do we take stock of ourselves? To see whether we are heading in the right direction, whether we have how much of profit we have incurred, how much of loss we have incurred. And obviously, if in a business sense we have incurred some loss over the past year, then we look to cover up that loss and move forward for the following year. And if we find ourselves in a profit situation, then we want to increase that for the following year. So similarly, as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a qasam by time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asr, by the qasam of time, inna al-insana lafi khusr, man generally is at a loss. In general, man is at a loss. Illa alladhina amanu, except those who have iman on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And coupled with that iman, wa amilu salihat, they perpetually carry out good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you see the year coming to an end, the Islamic year or the normal calendar that we follow as well, when that is coming to an end, sit back and look at that year. Look at that year as you being a Muslim, a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you respite for one more year in your life. And then look at it from a deeni point of view and see how much more closer have you gotten to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any difference? Do we ever sit and take stock of ourselves and sit and look at the whole year that has passed by us? We have had one more month of Ramadan. We have had one more month of Hajj that has passed by us. So many big days, so many big nights, so many occasions to secure the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many opportunities to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much of Salah has passed by us. So many days of Jumu'ah have passed by us. So many opportunities Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Have we made the best possible use of these opportunities, or have we not made the best use of it? If we have made use of these opportunities, then we praise and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is only Him who grants us the ability to carry out any good deed. And if we find that we have not given our full potential for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we still have life, we are still breathing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still giving us respite. Let us look to better ourselves as Muslims. That is an ideal, an intelligent Muslim. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsa. The intelligent person is that person who always takes stock of himself and knows what is the condition of his iman. He is not oblivious of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is not oblivious of the fact that one day he has to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his whole life becomes a preparation for his meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is definitely bound to happen. How long we will live in this world, that is only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the fact that right now we are seated here, our hearts are beating, we are breathing, and we have life within us, it's not late, it's not too late. We still have the opportunity to get as close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as is possible. So this is just our intro, but with regards to our topic of discussion for today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed insan with many, many bounties and ni'mats. And one such bounty and ni'mat that Allah has blessed insan with is the opportunity, is the ability to move from one place to the other. The fact that we are mobile, we can move from one from point A to point B with not much difficulty at all. This is a bounty and ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to, Allah could have kept us fixed at one spot. Look at this masjid, it cannot move even one inch. It's fixed to the ground. Look at the pillars, it is fixed to the ground. Look at plants, look at trees. They are not mobile, they are all fixed to the ground. But Allah has given us as insan the ability to move from one place to the other freely in the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, with giving us the ability to move with our limbs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have kept us isolated in islands and in different parts of the world, and we would have been unable to move from point A to point B, as I mentioned. But there again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the ability to move from point A to point B, from one place to another place, from one country to another country, from one town to another town. These are all ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is by the way and nothing is just as it is. Everything is a bounty and a ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes from moving from point A to point B, Allah gave us the modes of transport. And if we look back from the time of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or from the time of the inception of insan, of mankind, then at that time the modes of transport varied. But the most common mode of transport, which was from time immemorial and will continue, I think, even till the day of Qiyamah, right now we have it too, is the mode of transport of the ship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. In numerous places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the ship, and Allah says it's like a mountain moving on the water. Who else but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can cause that vessel to float freely from one place to another place? This is only the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know when that ship has to sink, then no one can stop it from sinking. This again, the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is one mode of transport which is from time immemorial. But in general, when we look at the normal modes of transport, then that has varied. In the past, people used animals, people used horses, people used donkeys, people used camels. So these were the modes of transport. Other big animals were used to carry, to pull huge loads of goods from one place to another place. And alhamdulillah, we come to 2010, the 21st century, we know what is our modes of transport. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with vehicles, Allah has blessed us with trucks, Allah has blessed us with trains, Allah has blessed us with the aeroplane. All these things are modes of transport that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed at our disposal. So if we have to analyze our current situation with regards to traveling, when we look at our situation and we look back at the past, we see a vast difference. What took people months to travel in the past now takes us just a few hours. You jump in the plane and in a few hours time you're in another country. Whereas in the past that same journey would take people months and months to reach that point. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the mode of transport very, very fast for us and made things very simple for us. But as advanced as we have become and as far as we have moved with regards to technology, still the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands out. Now sometimes, even though we're traveling in 5-star and we are traveling first class and business class and whatever the case may be, but still, look at the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "As-safaru qita'atun min al-'adhab." Traveling is actually a portion of azab. It's a portion of difficulty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts upon you. Why? Because no matter what the case is, no matter what class you are traveling with, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, naturally yamna'u ahadakum nawmahu wa ta'amahu wa sharaba. It's a natural fact that when you travel and when you journey, then a person is deprived of his normal daily routine in life. You are deprived of that normal bed that you sleep in, your comfortable bed at home. You are deprived of the food that you have in your house. You are deprived of the water that you are normally accustomed to. There's some difficulty and there's some difference in your life. Sometimes even though we think that we are in absolute luxury, but if we really look at it, how long will we be able to live with that luxury? No matter where we are in the world, no matter how expensive the holiday may be or how posh the hotel may be, there's only a certain amount of time we can spend there. After that, everyone, we naturally will miss home and we will want to come back to our homes. So that is why Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that traveling is a portion of azab. It prevents a person of his normal routine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when you travel and if you have to travel, then when you finish your work, then hasten back to your family. فَلْيُعَجِّلْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ. Come back to your home that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. Come back to your family that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with. Now why is this our topic of discussion? Because if we look at the hadith and the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, then traveling has to be done for a purpose. No one just jumps in a car and drives to another town. We are taught that we travel only for a purpose. So either we will travel for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either we will travel for some business reason, but there's some reason for a person traveling. And it has to be a genuine reason. So either he will travel for his livelihood, or he will travel to see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, go in the earth of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or you will travel to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything other than these three will not be considered as something ideal for a person to do. You cannot just travel. But why is this our topic of discussion today? Because we are ahead. We are coming very close to the holidays, and many people will be taking a vacation. Many people will be going out for some weekend or some amount of time. So we will be traveling. And in general, if we look at the word safar and traveling, then whenever we jump in our vehicle, that is a bit of traveling that we are doing from point A to point B. This is also the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to move about. So this is also considered as traveling. But let's take it from the aspect of us now going for a holiday. Now we work the whole year, and we have stress, and we have all our problems, and we have all our difficulties. So when this free time comes, then we all need a break, and we want a rest, and we want to relax our minds, and we want a change of environment. There's nothing wrong with this, but then again, our niyat has to be correct. Why are we going? Let us always have some intention. So if we are going for a holiday, for example, then we should have some niyat and some goal and object in front of us. Because as I mentioned, it's not the ideal situation for a Muslim to just travel with no purpose and no reason. So either we will go somewhere to see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will go to the beach. No, don't worry about what's on the beach and the sand. Look at the water, look at the waves, and you will see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Leave all the other scenery aside. Or you will go to some mountainous area or some beautiful area and admire the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have this as your niyyah, then your journey becomes now part of your deen. It becomes part of Islam. Or you will travel to another place where there are majority of non-Muslims, and there your niyat will be that let these people be exposed to Islam, to deen. Let them be exposed to a Muslim. I want to expose deen to a non-Muslim. Because naturally, wherever we are, we have to perform our salah. Wherever we are, we will have some identity of us being Muslims. So then it is a form of da'wah. But we should always have some niyat behind our traveling. Because we don't just go from place to place. That is not the ideal mindset of a Muslim, of a believer. Everything we do, we have a purpose behind it. We have a niyyah behind it. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal a'malu bin niyyah." Every action is judged by its intention. So when we have a goal, when we have a purpose, when we have a niyyah behind our journey, behind our holiday, behind our taking a break, then this will become meritorious and this will form part of our deen. Now when it forms part of our deen, then again we got to look at the sunnats of traveling. How did Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam traveling? So let's briefly go through some of the sunnats of traveling. One is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to like to start his journey on a Thursday. Nabi Kareem kana yuhibbu yakhruja yawm al-khamis. When it came to the battle of Tabuk, the expedition of Tabuk, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left Madina Munawwara on a Thursday. Other sunnats of traveling or other things that we learn from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would start his journey at the beginning of the day, early morning, after Fajr. It's quiet, it's peaceful, we should start our journey then. So most of us, if we are planning on going for any holiday, then we should take note of the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we look at the situation of our roads today, then we also are reminded of that hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that as-safaru qita'atun min al-'adhab. It's definitely a portion of azab. Take our stretch from Durban to Maritzburg, we know what is the situation. One problem, one small accident, one delay, it becomes a 3-4 hour delay. So that simple journey and short journey becomes something tiresome, becomes something frustrating. If we look at general, the traffic congestion every morning and every evening, we see how frustrated people become, we see how edgy people become, then this is a direct testimony of this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even though sometimes we are sitting in the best modes of transport, or whether we are sitting in the bus with 60 passengers, we are all in the same boat, no one is moving nowhere. Everyone is getting frustrated, everyone is getting upset. But when we really take note of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this ability to move from point A to point B, and whatever difficulty we go through in that moving from point A to point B, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us for this. Also, we should take note of the fact that there are numerous du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned with regards to traveling. And inshallah, we will go through a few of these du'as and we will translate it. And really, when you see the translation of the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's amazing how it really fits in our current situation. Because we know the problems on the road, we know the problems all over. But when we look at this at the beautiful du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each one of us, we should all try and make an effort to learn these du'as and recite it, because it is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And then again we get the opportunity to appreciate our deen, our wholesome and complete deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which has taken care of every part of our life. There's no part of our life that our deen has not encompassed and taken care of to the best of ability. So always we have the opportunity to appreciate the fact that Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha. All praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having blessed us with deen and iman and Islam. Had Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not guided us to this deen, what would have been our situation? Where would we have been right now? It was nothing but the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah blessed us with iman. Now, the most famous dua which most of our children know and most of us know when it comes to traveling and taking a journey or when we sit in a vehicle is Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. Have we ever pondered over the meaning of this? It forms part of the verse of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He speaks about His ni'mat and His bounties that He has blessed the insan with, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the animals. And Allah speaks about how Allah has subjugated these animals for us, for our use. We know we just passed Qurbani now. We saw how many animals were slaughtered. Allah made those animals subjugated to us. We slaughtered them with ease. We take benefit from them. We eat from them. Take the massive oxes and bulls. Look at those animals. Look at the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in that animal. But Allah subjugates that animal for you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about the added ni'mat, obviously with reference to the time of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because that was the mode of transport then. But still it will fit even in our current modes of transport that Allah has blessed us with. So Allah says, لِتَسْتَوُوا عَلَىٰ ظُهُورِهِ. You will settle on the back of that animal. So let's take it in present time. You will settle in the seat of your vehicle, of your car, the driver's seat. ثُمَّ تَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ رَبِّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذَا اسْتَوِيتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Then you must ponder over the ni'mat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon you. The bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put upon you when you saddle and you mount that animal. That Allah has put this animal under your command. You say, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. All praise and glory is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has put this animal under my command. Now that was the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Take it in present time. Allah has put this vehicle under your command. You turn the steering left, the car will go left. You turn the steering right, the car will go right. You hold it steady, the car is going to go straight. Now as much as we think it's man-made technology, it is Allah who keeps that wheel in motion. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who causes that engine to flow the way it is, to move in the manner that it is moving. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that wheel can't stop turning. And who can stop it from turning? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That tire can bust. Who stops it from busting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know these things can happen. So Allah has subjugated this mode of transport for you. Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin. Otherwise, it would have been impossible for us to control this mode of transport. Very simple. Allah save each one of us from any mishap or difficulty, especially on the road. But once you lose control of that car, ask the best of driver, whether he may be Formula 1 or Formula 2, whatever the case may be. But when you lose control of that vehicle, there's absolutely nothing you can do. No matter what your skill is, no matter how expensive the car may be, no matter how much of technology may be loaded into that car, but when that car loses control, it's impossible for you to control it again. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. Had it not been through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and through Allah's ni'mat upon us, it would have been impossible for us to control it. We would never be able to control it. But Allah subjugates it for us. Allah puts it under our command. And freely we will move from point A to point B. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And the last part of the dua is that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our actual return. We journey in this world, but our ultimate journey is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is our life. We came into this world, we were born into this world, and our journey continues till we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually we are perpetually on safar and journey. One is the greater journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but now we are speaking about the minor journeys that we will undertake into this world. And another thing that always comes to my mind when I think about this topic is that verse says, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. And just prior to that is, وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. Had it not been for Allah's favor upon us, it would have been impossible for us to control that mode of transport. And then it says, وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. And 9 out of 10 times that's what happens when that vehicle is not in our control. There's no other place we are going. We return straight to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from any difficulty or any mishap on the road. But let us take note of these du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. And we should all try and make an effort to learn it. Again, we'll repeat the dua, Subhana الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون. Now this is one famous dua which most of us know. But there are other duas as well. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would recite when he would travel and when he would go on a journey. One dua is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika bi wa'atha'i safar. O Allah, I seek your protection and I seek your refuge in the difficulties of a journey. بِوَعْثَاءِ السَّفَرِ. Any difficulty in the journey. وَكَعَابَةِ الْمَنْظَرِ. O Allah, I seek your protection from seeing bad things on my journey. Seeing things that will displease me. Seeing things that will sadden me. Seeing things that will upset me. I don't want to have no bad vision. I want to see only good things on my journey. وَسُوءِ الْمُنْقَلَبِ. And O Allah, I seek your protection from an evil return. How often sometimes a person goes on a journey, goes on a holiday, and some nuqsan, some deficiency takes place in his wealth back home or with his family back home. Sometimes you will go somewhere, some member of your family will pass away. So now it will be a su'ul munqalab. It won't be a happy return on your way back home. Now you come back home with that sadness, with that regret, with that remorse. Hey, I shouldn't have went. Maybe it would have been better if I stayed at home. Now everything happens with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But naturally sometimes these are the feelings that go through an individual. But let us practice upon these du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should all try and learn it. If we cannot learn, we should ideally try and learn the Arabic. That would be the best thing. But the least we should do is we should know what are the du'as that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us. This is another du'a. And other important things when we are traveling is how do we conduct ourselves. Remember, we are a Muslim whether we are at home or whether we are on a journey. Sometimes people think that when they go on a journey, then they are going on a journey as well from their deen. No, no. This is impossible. This can never be so. Because a Muslim is the same wherever he is. Like how we know we have to perform our salah when we are at home, this is the same when we go on journey. Allah, fair enough, has given us a discount with the number of rakats, but there's no discount with the amount of salah. That still stays as it is. Sometimes we think we get a discount there as well. No. So wherever we are, we conduct ourselves in the same manner that we conduct ourselves at home. We are a Muslim at home, and we are a Muslim more so when we leave our homes. Because as I mentioned, we should always have a niyat behind traveling. It's not that we are on holiday from our deen. In fact, when it comes to the free time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, if we are not going on journey, then grab onto this opportunity. We know how hectic our daily lifestyles are, how hectic it is with the traffic, how hectic our lives are in general. So we barely find time, we just make it to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is such a rush. We don't find time to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't find time to make the tilawat of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because our lives are hectic. Now that is a fact, we are busy people most of the time. There's no one sitting around and doing nothing. But then Allah gives us the opportunity for some free time to come into our life. Let us maximize the use of this free time. So now spend more time in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spend more time making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try and cover up what you have lost in the last year. Like how we know we're coming to the peak time of business now. We're coming to Christmas time. So everyone wants to cover up and maximize their profits because this is the boom time. This is the time for sales to increase. So when free time comes after that, let our sales for the year after increase as well. Let our a'mal increase for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he mentions, وَلْيَسْعَكَ بَيْتَكَ. Now as much as we're speaking about traveling, let us come back to the ideal and the original. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's advice to us is, وَلْيَسْعَكَ بَيْتَكَ. Let your home be sufficient for you. Let your home be enough for you. Let your home be comfortable for you. Stay at home. That is the ideal actually. We build such expensive homes, we build palatial homes, we have all the comforts and luxury of our home. But the time that we really get to enjoy that comfort and that luxury, we leave our home to go somewhere else, to go to some difficulty. That's really the reality of things. But let us appreciate these homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah has put that shelter over your head. Allah has blessed you with the ni'mat. Appreciate this bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And you will find that when we are at home, then you remember you are in a protected environment. That is why Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, وَلْيَسْعَكَ بَيْتَكَ. But unfortunately, we have to always look at the reality of things. Today, sometimes there's more evil in the home than out of the home. With the technology, with the internet, with the TV, with all these things. So sometimes there's more wrong in our home than out of the home. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is saying, وَلْيَسْعَكَ بَيْتَكَ. Let your home be sufficient for you, which shows that your home has to be a very clean and pure environment. That is the ideal Muslim home. It's supposed to be your fort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You're supposed to be protected within your home from all the fitnas outside. Because naturally, you don't have control of what is outside your home. So the fitna and mishaps will be there. Nuqsan to your deen will be out of your home. But your home is your fort that Allah has given you. But today we have tainted that fort that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. We have messed up that protection that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. So again, we got to come back to the original. How was our home supposed to be? It's supposed to have been an environment of deen. It's supposed to be a safe environment. It's supposed to be an environment of the sunnah of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when it is that type of environment, then it's going to be safe for you. It's going to protect you from all the fitnas that are out of your home. So ideally, we should stay at home and we should spend time together as families. We know how scarce quality time is gone, especially with regards to families. Where is that time that we had for each other? Sitting together as a family and having a meal. Sitting together as a family and having some light-hearted discussion. Father spending time with son. Mother spending time with daughter. Family spending time together. So these are all points that we should take note of whenever free time comes ahead of us. Whenever some holiday comes ahead of us. Let us make it a bonding time. And again, when it comes back to journey, if we are journeying, let's journey for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Open the books of hadith and you will find so many hadiths of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the merits of you going and visiting someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You journey from one town to another town to visit someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shayya'ahu sabuna alfa malak. 70,000 angels bid you farewell. They make dua for you. There was one person who journeyed from one place to another place to visit someone for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel to this man in the form of a human being. And the angel asks him that, you know, where are you headed to? He says, I'm going to a certain town to meet a certain person. So the angel tells him that halaka alayhi min ni'matin tarubbuha alayhi, that are you going to repay any favor to this person? What's the motive of your journey? Why are you going there? Has this person done something for you? You're going to repay him? What is the purpose of your journey? He says, nothing but the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason why I'm going. So the angel says, inni rasulullahi ilayka. I am a messenger that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to you to deliver a personal message to you. That like how you love this man for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has sent me to tell you that he loves you much more. Imagine that. We know we have families in different towns, in different countries. Babul birri wasila. Open the hadith, the books of hadith. You will find chapters on maintaining family ties. Go and visit your family for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot count the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. So if we are going to journey, let us keep these things in front of us. Sometimes we have not seen our family for months. Sometimes we have not seen them for years. We are going to journey, we are going to travel. Let us go and visit them. It will increase our muhabba, increase our love. We know the problems of disunity that we have. Let us maintain these ties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. When it comes to maintaining ties, we are maintaining ties with who? With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you do good to your family member, you maintain your tie and your relationship and your bond with him. You are maintaining your bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that that person who cuts off family ties, he is cutting himself off from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. So if we are going on a journey, let us always keep the sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of us. As I mentioned, let us always have a motive for our journey. We don't just travel to go and have a good time and fun and laughter. Yes, that will be, by the way, one person put it very beautifully, that when you buy a cow, you get everything that comes with the cow. The milk is there. And let's take an example of the dung of a cow. That's something which we don't really consider to be much. We consider it to be dirty. We consider it to be filth in this part of the world. But there are parts of the world where that is a very expensive commodity. People buy it and people utilize it for many things. Take India, for example. It's something which is used for many things. Cow dung. But no one buys a cow just for the dung. No one. That will be a foolish person. That will be a stupid person. But when a person buys a cow, you have the milk there, you have the dung, you have everything. Everything comes by the way. So let us always have a broad niyat and a motive also. Whenever we are traveling, what are we traveling for? Let's go through them again. If we are going to take a journey, we take a journey either to see the wonders that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Especially in our country. What a beautiful country Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Go on the coast, you will see the ni'mat and the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But again, not what's on the sand, but what's on the sea. Look at that. The power and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to the mountainous areas, look at those mountains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put. Look at the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to different areas where there's landscaping, where there's so much of greenery, where there's hills, where there's trees, where there's plants. We have so much of beauty in this country. Appreciate that beauty and appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you see that, appreciate your sight that Allah has given you the ability to see that. Imagine the man who does not have sight, he cannot appreciate that natural beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And if that's not our niyat, then we should have the niyat of maintaining family ties. This will also be good. And if that is not our niyat, then let us have the intention of us showing the non-Muslim what is a Muslim like, a form of da'wah. So we will go in a non-Muslim environment and we freely practice our deen. We will be dressed in an Islamic manner. We will be performing our salah. We will be conducting ourselves normally as Muslims. So these non-Muslims will be exposed to a Muslim. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to have these niyats and these objectives in front of us if we are going to travel. But don't forget the ideal. وَلْيَسْعَكَ بَيْتَكَ. Let your home be sufficient for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice upon this wonderful deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And for those of us who don't know any of these du'as that we mentioned of traveling, most all our ulama are in front of us. We can approach them and they will gladly and happily teach us. In fact, they are sometimes printed on cards. They are in many kitabs as well. We should all make an effort of learning these things and keep in mind the sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when we are traveling. One other hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the malaika do not accompany any caravan or any person journeying or any car wherein there is either a dog or bells. Now what the bells makes a reference to, it doesn't have to really be explained. That is music. We cannot be traveling in a vehicle with blasting music and expect the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upon us. We cannot expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be upon us. You know, it's really sad. I remember one situation very clearly where there was a group of youngsters. They were jumping the car to go from one place to another place, for example, from Durban to Maritzburg or Maritzburg to Durban. And as soon as they jump in the car, they say, let's read our dua. So they all will read, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. And the moment that stops, same time the radio is switched on and the music is blasting. How do we expect the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be there? It's actually playing games with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us take note of these things. And when we journey, we should always not forget that we are Muslims whether we are at home, and we are Muslims more so when we are in journey. So we still have to practice upon our deen and we still have to conduct ourselves as Muslims. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to put these things into practice. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.